Saturday breakfast. Morning. Just gone 7:30. Let's talk to Maurice Michalowski, our futurist, who joins us every few weeks or so here on the program. And always talk about things which seem a little bit far-fetched, but you know, a week or two after we've had the conversation, suddenly they become reality. Let's talk about, in particular, some of the sort of the technology that is influencing our world. Good morning, Maurice.
Good morning, James.
Great to have you on the program again. I want to start with that story of the recent drone that was out there photographing and bumped into an athlete, causing an injury. But these drones and this sort of personal surveillance and this sort of privacy is obviously an issue, I would have thought, because they can go anywhere at any time.
Well, it's increasingly going to be an issue. You're absolutely right. We have here one where humans collided with it, and obviously that's a whole set of different circumstances. But overarching that, a drone is something that flies. It flies remotely. It can either be remotely driven from somebody close by, or as the military uses it, from thousands and tens of thousands of kilometers away.
Yeah, so we're all going to have one of these drones. We feel like spying on the neighbours or doing something with it. What's to stop us from doing this if we've got a licence?
Well, that's our whole discussion. I mean, really, what do we do as a society? We have a whole lot of technology that's just knocking on the door at the moment. We're fairly certain that they're going to play and be important in our lives in some ways. We have to invent or innovate how that will be, but they'll have some purpose there. But where's the laws? Where's the culture? Where's the societal thinking around it? Which takes us back to your earlier conversation as well. These things will become ordinary in our lives, but I would love, as a futurist, for us to pre-think how, as a society, we want to accept it, how we're going to deal with it. There are lots of laws that we're either going to have to, again, invent or innovate to make them purposeful and useful in our lives. And for some of the stuff that's possible with these, I would hate to think we're doing it after the fact.
Yeah, and that's a really good point, because it is changing so fast. The laws can't be created fast enough. So somewhere along the line, we need something or someone, or almost like a group of elders, a board of elders, that can decide on whether it's acceptable to sort of the general population.
Yeah, and what we're going to have to do, I think, is to put some broad brushstrokes in place, because the fine detail of it, we really can't see how we're going to use this. Social media 10 years ago was a bit of a yawn. It was a conversation. Most people didn't think it was going to be important. And now we don't even have to put it into that context. We just mention the word. Everybody's aware of it, good or bad, but it's part of our life. Now we have almost 96% of all police forces across the planet using social media for some sort of purpose. We talk about uprising, we talk about government changing, and even though social media is not the reason for it, it's often the catalyst or the messenger on which that rides. That's how far technology has impacted into lives, into changing governments, into policing, into laws, and we've only just started down this technology road.
Actually, it might be another conversation we have with a legal expert on how quickly we can implement these laws, because the technology is clearly moving at a greater pace.
It is. I mean, not only with our legal people, but they're stymied as well, because our politicians have to get into it. But society, I would love society to be able to dictate, to come together and think about these things, and then to lobby and put together concepts and precepts of how we use these things, and then ask our legislators to put them into place. Wearable computers, the things we've spoken about before, which are devices that we'll wear. Google Glass is on the horizon sometime within the next 6 to 12 months. We're already starting to see versions of it available. There was another lot sold in America only in the last couple of weeks, another great volume of them sold in America. There are some really great purposes of that. We've talked about medical, you know, in an operating theatre, being able to see x-rays as they're literally carving up you or I and doing what we want them to do. We've talked about nurses being able to use them for purposes, teachers. But then again, we have horrible people. And again, this is people, not technology, who will find a purpose for this that none of us listening would ever want it to be used for, to take pictures of people that are too innocent to be taken pictures of, that haven't given the right or the permission for it. But yet the technology will let it happen. But technology is benign. In and of itself, it does nothing. It's only in the hands of human beings that it becomes a great tool or a really destructive tool. Mm. And I'd love to put some social mores, some social stops around the things that we shouldn't do, which are obvious, but they need to be said. Collectively, we need to say that we're not going down that road. This is not purposeful or useful, and we will stop you doing it. We can't just say afterwards, as we too often do, well, I thought you knew that wasn't right.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good point. And, you know, we speak every few weeks, and I'm glad we do, because the speed of change is quite rapid. You know, we were talking about things like self-driving cars last time, and you know, every few days you hear more stories of this, and before you know it, they'll be there, won't they?
Well, we know that, well, we believe, we never know, we believe that within the next 10 years, about 25%, one in every four cars that are sold will be fully autonomous or capable of it. There are all sorts of things that we need to decide on that. The road laws will change. If these cars are put into autopilot and they drive at a certain speed and for whatever reason they go over that speed, whose responsibility is it? Is it the manufacturer of the car? Is it the road? Is it the signage? Is it the person who's not driving but sitting in it and commanding it? If we have an accident, which is the part of what we see now with these terrible calamities that we've had, obviously, with aeroplanes, that when an aeroplane falls out of the sky, one of the major issues, of course, except to figure out what it is to apportion blame in a legal sense, because that person or that entity will carry most of the burden of payment. So if it's the engine or the something else in the plane that's gone off. With our cars, we're going to see, I think, a similar type of philosophy, where it's not always the driver who causes it, even if it's that motor vehicle that caused it. It might be the braking system, or it might be the windscreen that wasn't displaying the heads up properly, or it might in fact be the government who's not sending out information about what's happening up ahead on the road. This thing is going to change dramatically. And will we need a license to drive a car if we're not driving it?
I don't know. You're not meant to throw all these questions up like this, Morris. It's confusing.
And it's Saturday morning and Easter.
George from Narrogin thought it was illegal to take your hands off the steering wheel whilst driving and wonders how legal the auto-parallel parking technology is, where you actually remove your hands from the wheel.
And what a great question. And the same thing with that we're not able to use our mobile phones in many states in Australia while we're driving. But yet all of these autonomous things are asking us in some way to connect with technology. Now, it may be voice and they may be benign, we accept that, but again, we're kind of saying one thing and we're pushing down the road of something very different.
Malcolm in Darlington says he wonders whether the law would stand on him shooting down a drone hovering over his property.
What a great question. I mean, first we assume he has the right to own a gun, but that's
by. Yeah, of course. But and this week, Google released images of their new camera contact lenses. You know, what if we don't want to be photographed at all by someone who just sort of pops into our sort of a space?
Yeah, absolutely. And these wearable technologies will have all of those facilities. They'll also have the ability, although Google has been adamant that it will not allow it, they'll have the ability to do face recognition, to actually be able to pull up anybody that we walk past and get some sort of history or knowledge of them. Now, Google has said adamantly that it won't allow it, but as we've said just a few moments ago, in the hands of people who are not that nice, anything can be gotten around.
Of course.
So what do we do as a society?
I was just thinking, you shake hands with someone, on that you're going to get the sort of the fingerprints and so on, instantly in your computer and your head that's coming up, it's going to say, this guy's got a criminal record.
Well, now we're getting sinister. But the question there is a really good one around, well, I absolutely agree that I shouldn't have that technology, absolutely shouldn't be allowed as a citizen. But you know what? In the hands of a police person, maybe it's something that is purposeful and useful, and maybe they should be allowed to have it. So what loophole do we build into it? And then will the courts of law uphold the fact that that arrest or that contact has been made based on some wearable device? DNA was kind of tested like this. Well, it wasn't kind of. It was tested like this in its very early days. It had to be proven before we now accept it as being a really Rolls-Royce type of defense.
Just before you go, there was something I heard on the radio, and I know this is sort of maybe taking you by surprise, but you probably can comment on it. It was back in the UK, obviously with pressures on the health service and the National Health Service and, you know, needing to see more patients in less time, the usual sort of conundrum with GP practices. So what they started to do is GPs now spending a lot of time doing things like Skype calls with patients and doing those sort of home visits via the technology that is available. And apparently it's been incredibly successful. They're just doing it as a pilot, but that again is an introduction of technology to hopefully make it better for everybody.
It's a well, I think it does. It's called telemedicine, and it's a fascinating space. We've had trials here. We've had trials in Victoria about 2 years ago, where district nurses, who with the best of intent and the best of heart, physically can't get to people in their homes every day. So what they do is now they visit them once a week, which is the schedule they used to have to physically touch, feel, and make sure everything's okay. But they digitally connect with them on Skype every morning, and they have a conversation with them that makes sure that the other person's alive and alert, make sure that they are corresponding, and that they've got a bit of external contact. It may be digital, but still it's another human face in whatever sense. We're seeing doctors who can operate out of Perth but operate on a patient in Mozambique by a robot in the theatre. There are all kinds of telemedicine that's just going to be incredible. It'll allow us to spread it out, because our medical service, again, with the best of intent, best of people, are always lumpy, meaning that we have a lot of people in our cities who are very, very talented, very skillful, but unfortunately, the further we get out, the less of those people we have.
Gee, it's a fascinating topic, Morris. I mean, I can see how it keeps you busy all the time.
It does, and I love this, because it's the conundrum that I, as I said, I would love us to solve before it becomes an issue. Too often in our history, we've come to terms with things afterwards, and there's just too much happening on the horizon for us to do that. Too many things for us to think about. And that's why you and I and the listeners really need to have this debate and bring it up as a conversation with the people that can make a difference.
We'll start that conversation. Morris, thanks so much for joining us this morning. Interesting topic of conversation, something that needs to be obviously developed over time. But we'll catch up with you again in a few weeks.
Look forward to it. Happy Easter, everyone.
You too. Thanks. Morris Mizalowski, our futurist. Fascinating conversation.